Welcome to the Ross Chapman Audio Experience.
We need to be a community inside our organization. And the community is something that maybe like breaks apart some of this hierarchy, this political, this kind of like who says what. And the power is the community itself. The communities are a huge piece of a design system.
Today I've got Mark Reynolds and we're going to be talking about design systems and just really nerding out about it. Mark runs the design systems studio at Tomley, and he recently went to the Converge conference, which unfortunately I had tickets, but I got COVID at the same time and just thought it was better for everyone that I don't go. So really, I wanted to just nerd out with Mark about design systems. I've been working on them in a kind of consultant capacity, and there just seems to be a few things that either I'm not aware of or just hasn't been solved in the greater design sphere. So, Mark, welcome. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, I am doing very well. Thank you very much for having me. This is going to be awesome. We are just like, as a prefix, we're going to go a bit crazy, I think, on design systems. We're going to spin out, and I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for having me today. I've just started my coffee. I'm going to have a little bit more. I'm going to sip on it. So, bear with me on that.
Part of the reason in having a conversation with you is we reconnected a few weeks ago, and you actually said to me, oh, Converge is coming up. It's a design system conference in London. Why don't we go along? And I went, yep, get my ticket. A few days before, contracted COVID, couldn't go. And I really wanted to meet up and have this conversation in person because I'm not a design system expert like you, but I am having to understand that world and advise and pick the right ingredients before we start projects, etc. Why don't you tell me to start with, look, you've had previous experience working with the NHS, with SSE, with Unit 4. Where are you now? You've kind of progressed into this design system area. You've started a studio. What is driving you to lean more into design systems?
Well, first of all, I'm in the stratosphere right now. I'm in the cosmos, the universe of things. That's where I've hit, right? So we've gone through this whole atomic design piece, atomic things that hit molecules, that hit this and that. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm in space and I'm trying to figure this thing out. That's where I am. I've gone through like years and years of trying to figure this piece out. There's so much in terms of understanding when it comes to design systems, and what a lot of people might not know is there's a long-standing history with design systems. It just so happens that the modern technology and the world we're in today is framing it and shaping it slightly different, so it's now called design systems, and it's a bit of a buzzword now, and it's included in everything. Apparently that every project and every product and everything now needs a design system. So I've gone through many iterations of design systems, from needing to do like greenfield projects where there's nothing that exists, like the product doesn't even exist, and we've got to start a design system, all the way through to like super enterprise level design systems where there's so many different product verticals and teams that need to have reusable components is, again, it's another kind of frame for what design systems are right now. To sort of pull that through, use on multiple products, multiple teams to the nth degree. I'm at the point where I'm in a frustrated position where I'm like, all right, I need us as a community, as a design system community, to get closer and solve this problem. And the problem that I am obsessed with and I can't get out of my mind, it's been years of trying to get this together, is the whole design code, what's the single source of truth, what doesn't mean single source of truth, and where does that actually like sit?
I feel like the journey we've taken, I've been in this industry for 15 years or so. So I saw how, the buzzword used to be UX. And I even have conversations now where they're talking about UX when they're actually talking about something completely different. And I feel like design systems might be, like you allude to, be this next buzzword. But for me, the promise of a design system was that we weren't starting from scratch every time that we create a page, and using that kind of atomic design principle of you've got your particles going up, well, atoms all the way up to pages. It just made sense that you decide what your consistent button is, because we want consistent kind of interfaces all the way through, line heights, you know, which grids we're working on. Make all those decisions so that when you start creating the next, you know, product display page, or you're working on a checkout, those decisions have been made, even by maybe senior designers, so that everyone else can just get on and do the work, and you're not having review meetings talking about the size of, you know, a certain headline, or the way that a bit of text, you know, tapers and funnels. And it just seems like having the internet been going on for so long, we now have some decisions that have been made that makes a user interface more intuitive and easy to use. And that's what I thought the promise of design systems were. It was, you know, you might be picking a framework to work towards and working with that, and then when it goes to development, just like you said about that kind of chasm between, that developers can pick it up and, again, not start from scratch, just pick up. I've written lines with a library. Back in the day, it used to be Bootstrap. We just knew what a P lead was, and a button, and a kind of headline, and, you know, all the different toggle formats and status. And you remove friction. And I just feel that friction is still in there. You know, so the example that we talked about a few weeks ago was, I was talking to a development team about which frameworks are you going to be using as you're developing? Because if anything, I don't want design to dictate too much, and for development to be a servant of design, because that's just, you know, collaboration.
That's old school. That's old school, right?
That's, collaboration. I know it's a bit old school. Yeah,
everyone's got to do it together. High fives.
you got to do it. And they said, well, look, it's looking likely like material. So I went, okay, well, all these design systems that I've researched are in the bin, because nothing links up with anything like that. And it's just feels like the Wild West of not having that design all the way to development kind of language. And I'm just an observer. Like, you're in the depths of it. So, you know, is this something that you're finding as well, that there is just this bit of Wild West about using design systems to help collaborate between design and development and remove friction?
Yeah, I mean, it unfortunately, because so many companies and orgs are set up so differently, even the teams and the team operating model are set up so differently, there's not one answer to this, right? So as we are all unique as organizations, so are the design systems themselves. So there is a universal understanding now of design systems, and that's a massive like move forward. But there is still those differences. So I find on every project that I ever work on or consult on is like this. It's like, okay, well, let's first understand, how are you set up? You know, what frameworks do you use? And you go through what's probably quite common now. It wasn't before, but you go through a common auditing process, and the auditing process throws out loads of different things from different tech stacks, from different tooling, and you just kind of end up with a huge amount of differences. But yeah, I think in terms of frameworks, in terms of libraries, you know, like Bootstrap, and now the most, famous, the one that's put up on a pedestal right now, is Tailwind CSS. And I've got like a huge kind of, I'm a fanboy of Tailwind CSS as a whole. Like, as in, like, if you've got a greenfield project, or if you've got like a small project, or if you're integrating maybe Tailwind as a bit of a method for CSS and some of your kind of token system stuff, I think it's kind of great. The problem is when you get to ownership of like your brand and ownership of your design system, real super like, you know, custom ownership of your products, which most of the companies that we all know, all software companies that we know of, they own this, then these decisions need to be owned by, you know, the company and that brand and that organization. At that point, we're talking decisions even down to the token level, and the naming convention for those tokens need to be owned by the design system team, by the designers and engineers through collaboration and contribution. So we get to that point, and the gap between development and design is still there, because designers are potentially, and the design system team are making token naming decisions, and maybe they're not involving enough of the engineering. Or engineering are making decisions based on what they know of Bootstrap or Tailwind or any other type of framework. And they're like, oh, designers, why can't you just use the token naming conventions that we've got or what are known best to our developers? And sometimes that is the correct answer. Like, as in, let's use this framework. We are using Tailwind. How can we get Tailwind into Figma? And how can we use it really effectively and build components, make them reusable in both software in terms of the application itself in development and engineering? And how do we make it in Figma? But then you've got tools that pop out the side and left, right, and center. So we've got things like Zero Height is more of a documentation site for me. I know it does some advanced things in terms of features. You've got Knapsack, which is very similar to that. You've also got Specify App, which is actually the middleware. It's really good at trying to be that middleware. It's not a decision-making tool, which I think is where things are missing, but it is a really good middleware between Figma application documentation, which is great. So big up the Specify App team. There's also Backlight as well. There's also Story2Design. I think I remember correctly, and I might be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but I think Story2Design is one of Backlight's apps that they do, and that's from Storybook documentation site that we all put our components on, etc., and some of our documentation backfilling into Figma so that they are connected and they're closer together. But yeah, like at the end of the day, the decision making for me needs to sit at a different level and a different space. And I was thinking of, you know, for me, it's like this different place in the universe. Like, and that's why I've gone into the cosmos, because I'm like, okay, there's these different places. You know, you've got the universe, you've got the planets, you've got like things that orbit these, and you've got galaxies. And I was like, okay, cool. We need to just step one level higher and start making decisions more. Maybe, yeah. Let's think about it. We've got the Earth, the Moon, the Sun. You know, we need to kind of wrap that. We need to wrap our decision making slightly like differently in a different space. And the tooling is digesting the brand, the UI components, parts of the UX. But this place is making, you know, the decisions, which have been a contribution for the whole team. And then we're using the same thing. Whatever this piece is, we're all using it together. And we don't have to make, you know, excessive decisions and stuff about silly things.
It makes a lot of sense. And when you have those discussions, you know, who wins and why, and really that decision underpins the next few years of design and development. You know, it's one of those movables that you know, characterize everything. I was going to ask, because I wasn't there, you know, what was the main kind of theme or themes at Converge? Because it felt like to me that this was a gathering of design system kind of experts. And I was just so bummed not to go. But, you know, were there any kind of like ideologies or principles or anything that you took away from that conference that, you know, audience that might not have gone would really kind of appreciate and want to know?
Yeah, so Amy Hoop, big up Amy Hoop. Actually did a piece that was, the talk was really engaging. She's a great talker, great speaker, by the way. So yeah, if you want to grab someone, grab Amy Hoop. But she did a very political approach to design systems, really, as a whole. And the message that I got, now this is just my personal opinion, so like, you know, if this is like off topic or not, you know, not quite as it was supposed to be framed and shaped, I apologize, but this is my personal take, is you've got like different kind of governance, right, to design systems, and that can come from different people within the organization from a hierarchy like level. You know, you've got your VPs and you've got your, you know, your CEOs all the way down into like directors and product owners and stuff like that, and decisions around design system stuff and kind of moving forward as a product squad team, you know, piece of software. Decisions can be moved around and emphasis on different people can be different in different companies. And really what I sort of got out of it is that actually we need to be a community inside our organization. And the community is something that maybe like breaks apart some of this hierarchy, this political, this kind of like who says what and you know, having power over here or power over there. The power is the community itself, and it's very common now, or it's getting to be more common actually, maybe. The communities are a huge piece of a design system. So I've done some documentation, I've got some Miro boards and stuff that people are open source kind of Miro boards that people look into. And one of the things, one of the themes in there is community, like driving design systems with community. So nobody holds like the baton. It's not this person says this and this person says this. It's like, hey, we all have an opinion and we're smart enough, we're like, you know, human enough to be able to come to these conclusions and decisions together and build and make things for each other. So like, if I'm like, hey, just imagine this situation. This is like a, you know, typical situation, right? So you've got a designer and they go, oh, I designed this amazing card, right? And it holds this amazing piece of content. And you've thought about all the padding, you know, you've got, you're using your padding tokens or spacing tokens, sorry, your border radius tokens, everything all sweet. And you're like, you know what, this looks awesome. And I think it would really work. The UX, you know, this is great. Go to the engineers and say, hey, like, you know, I've done this piece and I think you really love it. And they say, yeah, that's great. But like how we've set up the settings here and how we do this configuration in this file means that actually that's going to be quite jarring if we try and implement that. And so like, if the designer was to sit back and the engineer to sit back and say, okay, well, like, we have these opinions about this, like, we have some good collaboration, like, we, you know, okay, maybe they're senior and stuff and they like really understand each other's like craft, but the decision isn't theirs to own, it's like the community is to own. It's like, oh well, actually, like, who is it for? It's for the rest of the designers. Okay, but is it also for the users that are actually using the product? Yes, it is. Cool. So who wants to, like, you know, bring that opinion, and the engineer, who wants to bring that opinion? And then all together it's like, hey, like, let's put a stamp on this. Like, we've got some great feedback, we've got some great research, and we all own it together. So I owe that, like, that framing to Amy Hoop and her talk at Converge. I've got like a super selfish reason to have gone to Converge, and I've been watching Dan Marl for years. Like, I've been following his journey, and you know, you can't have a podcast without his name coming into it, without Brad Frost coming into this, and we've already hit Atomic Design. I didn't say his name, but now I've said both their names. The heavyweights. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
so
this
I
is going viral now. Yeah.
I selfishly wanted to go there to see Dan Marl live on stage. You know, I've got a lot of good vibes from Dan in the past, and we actually talk every now and then on LinkedIn. You know, I'll fire him a little thing here and there and stuff. So yeah, it's just a pleasure to go and listen to how he sees things. And actually, I really do need to emphasize this one point he made. Again, this is totally like my view, but he pointed out, like, when you're doing design systems, how much value can you add straight away? Like, what could you do to add value, or the most value, with what a design system kind of represents? And he said, start with one of like the hardest components. Start with the hardest thing. He was like, stop thinking about buttons. He made the audience laugh. He was like, what's the first thing you think about? Everyone said buttons. And we're all like, oh yeah, because buttons are easier. Or like, let's start with color tokens because they're easy. And he was like, yeah, but like, how much value is a color token system or a button going to add to the engineers and actually the delivery process or the pipeline for, you know? And the answer is not very much. Like, the buttons are used here and there and they're quite good and they're really common and stuff, but we kind of nailed buttons-ish. Now, he was like, what's the worst one? What's the one that nobody can figure out? What's the most complicated thing? And start from there and break that apart and rebuild that. And then the value add is huge. You're like, oh man, we've like got this whole like date picker, you know, that selects this and it uses like these things and it gives all these different kind of interactions. You're like, well, start there and deliver that. And then you've got amazing contribution because everyone's like, oh man, like that's really great. Like, how about if we extend this? Everyone's excited. You're solving a big problem. So you've got like the designers. Imagine Figma with all this complicated components, nested components, Figma, thank you. Nested components are new and they're brilliant. Like they're all in there. You've got the whole, like all the different states in engineering for this complicated thing and everyone wants to use it. So if that's the first thing you do, and if you break that apart and you build the atomic parts to that, then you're setting yourself up for like success immediately. So yeah, I mean there's some other great talks, don't get me wrong, but those two for me, those two things and those two talks were big takeaways for me. I mean, again, like once I know a subject, my attention is like learn more, learn more, learn more. And then like when I'm listening and when I'm hearing these things, I'm like, oh yeah, like it's good validation, but I don't tend to stick it in my brain as well. But those two things popped out. So yeah, big up to the whole Converge and Zero Height, high five. You know, thanks for everybody's work in those talks. Awesome.
That build versus buy mentality that I think both startups and enterprises struggle with. Depending on if you had a strong design director at an enterprise, they would want to build from scratch. They say, look at Airbnb, look, it's beautiful, you know, they're using circular and it's designed for the specific needs of that particular app, and it's really adding a lot of value to that proposition, and you could start from scratch, or you can build and start from scratch and build or buy, just so I've got that right. But for startups, it doesn't make a lot of sense to build from scratch because, you know, there's limited, you know, budget, you've got to get started. But there's still that kind of want that this is, you know, a awesome kind of app visually and through the kind of interaction of it. And so, you know, when you come to talk to teams and advise, you know, what is your standpoint about that build versus buy mentality? And is it different between startups and maybe larger enterprise and organizations?
Yeah, I'll tackle that last one first because the answer is really simple. The answer is just yes. Like, once you hit enterprise, like, frameworks can be used and they can be adopted and etc. But you will get to the point in enterprise where it's like, we need to own it, we need to own all the decisions, and we need to be able to scale the way that we want to scale. And you enterprises can't depend on third parties. It's like the third party dependencies, you know, for a design system and stuff become like, you know, irrelevant, or like they need to kind of be squashed. And I don't mean like maybe documentation, but I do mean like real deep end, like framework kind of stuff. When it comes to startups, it's totally dependent on the team itself. But you could easily spin up, with Bootstrap and Tailwind, or like, you know, just using some guidelines, right? And you could use that framework, you can design some stuff, but you're never going to get like the maturity of a design system necessarily. You're going to get some reusable components in Figma. You're going to get some reusable components in code. They're probably not going to be connected, but you can move pretty fast. So like, it depends on the team itself and it depends on the value at that time. So I think it's totally time and size dependent. So at the beginning, if it's a startup and say it's like 2 or 3 or even up to say 10, you know, you don't need to do a design system. You need to design and build a product that users want, and you need to keep, like, at that size as a startup. It doesn't matter how long you're going or you've been going. You could be going for 4 years at that point, but you still need to focus on the customer, and you're still looking for product market fit and all those types of things. So for me personally, my view is the value of a design system at that point is a lot less. Because so my statement, like, kind of like for design systems, which there's been so many, is more on the, along the lines of, like, design systems are meant to scale. They're meant for scaling. They're not meant for just, like, you know, starting a project. It's like, that's what those tools are for. So, like, buy this part so that you can spin up your product really fast, and that's where the value add is. For me, it's when you go to scale, and now you've got to make bigger decisions. Now, these foundations, or, you know, when I say foundations, I meant the actual foundations of these by-product things, which is Tailwind and stuff. But those things there will sit there, and they will scale with you, like, from a technology point of view, but they won't scale with you from a design experience, customer experience point of view. So as you start to mature, you start to think, oh man, all we're doing is, like, extending and customizing these frameworks. And then you've spent so much time doing that, and then you're invested in it, and then you get to a certain point, you're maybe you're 40, 50, you know, 60 staff in this, even just in the space of engineering and design. And you're like, man, like, we need to take what we own now and bring it back. Like, where, if we were to audit that, like, where would we start? And that's where you go back to the down mile thing. Where's the heaviest component? Let's do an audit. Let's, like, put those backlog together of those atomic kind of pieces, and let's build from there, and then let's scale that, because that's going to be, like, scaling into, like, you know, the ecosystem of the product, you know, all that kind of stuff, marketplace developers and engineers and designers, all those types of things. So I think that's roughly where I would see it. One point. If you've got, like, a team, like, of in your startup, for example, who are super senior, and you've got, like, maybe you've bought the time, you know, from the CEOs or something, right? Or from management. And, like, even if it's just, like, a couple of months to, like, spin it up, you can design and build a design system and deliver the product side of that in a short period of time. Because in essence, the product is likely to be not huge at that point anyway. So you can design the kind of tokens and stuff. You can build what you need, and you can design and build that at the same time as delivering the experience. But it takes, like, it takes some experts, right? So if you're lucky enough to have a design system expert in the space, in your team at that time, then you can definitely build it from scratch. And there was one, from Converge, Dan Mar, he did this with a team. And yeah, it wasn't a startup as such, but they managed to get a design system up in, like, 3 months. And now that's unheard of. Like, the recent project I was just on, we're like 10 months, it was 10 months in, and we've delivered, like, a subset of everything, right? So we've got a sweet token system. So we delivered a sweet token system. We've remapped it and rebuilt it a couple of times, actually, based on everything that's happening with the enterprise organization, etc. And two components. You know, that's, like, super heavy enterprise level, but it can be done. So it can be done in 3 months, and it can be done for enterprise in 3 months. And I can spin off into, like, design sprints and stuff, and I know you're a design sprint, like, expert yourself. So yeah, imagine merging design sprints and design systems into one space. And hey, there you go. There's, like, a new form of a new way of working in this space. There you go. Boom. That's for you. You keep going.
Yeah. I believe it, Mark. Like, the convergence of what we've been used to is still going to happen. Like, my current interest is where you may be prototyping something in a design sprint. We have enough technology now that you can actually go and launch that. You know, whether you should or not, with your design thinking brain or not. But you don't have to throw away prototypes anymore, because you can get high fidelity from day one. And it just makes me think about the convergence between design and development with my other interest in no code. Like, the two are meshing. And I just wonder if, you know, over time, I think design systems is a great kind of transition between design and development, I do wonder whether it's going to help that convergence and whether, you know, we're not, as designers, throwing stuff over the wall, packaged up in the design system for now, but over time it's going to be seamless, and you know, maybe you get a hybrid between the two. But you know, that's what I'm fascinated, is actually design systems and other small little things are actually moving the design of the internet going forwards. Like, have you got any views on that, like how this is not overtly but quite quietly transitioning and evolving?
Yeah, there's already attempts in this space, but I've actually designed this product that you're talking about, this prototyping tool, right? I've designed it myself in Figma like 4 times. I'm on like iteration 4 or 5 now, and I'm like, okay, like time will come when this, you know, is comes to the top of, or surfaces itself. It's just kind of happening right now. But this is my imagination, right? So how I see this is, like, you take those components. Now, this is, I'm just simplifying this massively, but you take the components that have been agreed upon, etc., right? You put them in a drag and drop editor, okay? And you drag and drop the components onto the screen. You change the text, you change the images, you change the button names, blah, 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 blah. You build it like you'd build any website, web application with a drag and drop editor, and you click publish, and that is no different at all to publishing your WordPress site, your Squarespace site, whatever tool that you use, your no-code tool. My favorite, by the way, is Webflow, so big up Webflow. I'm a big fan, huge fan.
Sponsor this podcast, please.
Please sponsor this podcast, because we love your product. It's no different to that. Big fans. No difference to that whatsoever, right? So I don't understand why, if we have living, breathing coded components, which design systems have, that's almost the point in some ways, why we can't just go, okay, plug them in here and let's make this thing. So I've designed this out multiple times. I started this whole, like, okay, we need like a collaboration tool. And then as I was designing that years ago, we were lucky enough that we had, like, Miro was advancing, Vuro was advancing really well. We had these really cool tools coming in. Then we got FigJam, and then like Figma's like got this kind of code component. So it is trying to connect code and JSON data and stuff. So they're kind of in that space as we currently speak. So I see that those companies advancing in this space. But yeah, nobody is like literally built this thing. There is one, and it is built by Tailwind. So I'm a massive fan of this. They've done something very similar. I can't remember what the product's called. I apologize, Tailwind. But they've built this kind of prototyping tool where you can drag and drop components that are pre-built, right? So they do have the concept. It is there, but it's not like Figma yet, you know? So for me, there's a massive opportunity. I'd love to be like the person that creates the team around this thing. Tom Lee's product is basically like the vision of it is this, you know, to connect those two. But
it's
not complicated, right? If we can do it for websites and drag drop tools and stuff, we can even build apps with drag drop tools and no code tools. So I don't understand. Let's connect the two and get this going, right?
Yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense. Especially what you're doing with Atomly is, you know, having a design system studio but also having a product is just such a USP. You know, it makes, you know, I'm obsessed about building businesses, and it makes so much sense to have something that no one else has, but also helps you deliver the thing that your services require. So, you know, I think every agency, you know, small studio, even freelancer should somehow have a tool that assists them, because, you know, in agencies, there's not a lot of value when it comes to M&A, you know, but if you've created something, that's where the value is.
Yeah, exactly. And that is actually the approach totally. So it's basically like a lot of it's around maturity for Atomly, right? So we like do the staff augmenting model. So like if you need support at this point in your design system, we'll wrap a designer, an engineer, a group of engineers, a product owner around you so that you can either get your design system lifted and like you can actually get the extra buy-in, the more management higher up buy-in, the budget to get more team members members in, or like if you are hiring but you can't find the right people, which tends to be, that's a massive problem right now in the design system space, is getting people that have experience. It's new. It is new in that sense. But yeah, we augment round design system teams, right? And that's what we do as a studio. Now, as a product, we then go into like the management and looking after and the innovation part. So it's like, well, now that we've like, now we've got this team, right? Now we've got some maturity, we've got some buy-in, and the growth is pretty good for this design system. Well, who's going to host and have those design decisions? Well, let's create the UI and have the design decisions in this UI, so you have somewhere to go to know where all the token decisions are made, and it spits out JSON so the engineers can use the JSON data, for example. So let's use a product to manage that piece for us, right? And that's where like the start of the Automity product would be, right? And then one thing that I'm like less keen on now to grow is the documentation side. Like, I'm less keen on that side now. I think we've got so much maturity in that space, so I will change up the trajectory now, I think, of Automity as a product to kind of take documentation in that sense, you know, like the standard documentation you see on design system spaces, that part out, and focus more again on the prototyping, because I think the market and the maturity is there. So you've got the support in the design system space of studio and augmented staffing around that, and then into like looking after some of those decisions and having a product, a UI, log in to go and to do that, and then an actual prototyping tool for you to use what you've made to do user based research, right? Like usability testing. Yeah. Like, what an amazing tool to do usability testing with, instead of faking it in Figma or building a completely separate code base for a prototyping kit, which I have been a part of these and build those and use those, right? So yeah, you have like a real good shape. And I agree with you, from an agency or studio point of view, I have no idea, and I've done this myself, why we don't create those applications that support who we serve, you know, on a regular basis. I'm like you. I'm an absolute business nerd. I've tried to spin up as like many different businesses in different shapes, sizes, many different applications as well. I've tried like 3 or 4 different applications and stuff. It's a tough world, but I'm confident in this space. This is a wonderful place to be in right now. I'm a complicated fellow, so...
Yeah, you're right, Mark. I mean, you know, there's still a sense of you can create in this space, and the conversation's just moved a bit more forward. And, you know, I'm interested in data-led design and not reducing creativity, but being creative within constraints. And, yeah, that merging of design and development, I think those two worlds are still going to collide. I just love the idea now. I once... It's a sad story, but I once signed up to a iOS developer like boot camp in Belfast or somewhere, because I wanted to make my own apps. I went to it, and honestly, I kind of zoned out after the first 2 hours. There's not a developer in me. I can do basic HTML and CSS, and that's pretty much where I stopped. But I love the idea now that for mere mortals, you can take your idea and build it and launch it. And there's still a lot of fragmentation around that, but those worlds are still getting a bit closer. So I think every agency, every freelancer should create some kind of assistive product, whether it's with no-code tools, with Airtable, with Stacker on top, or, you know, just push something together in Bubble or even Webflow now with the new Logic updates and things. So, yeah. Mark, where can people find you? You know, have you got anything to share of what's coming up with you?
Yeah, so I'm like totally like invested in Automity. So automity.com, ATOMLE.com. I'm sure it'll be in the description. So yeah, head to there. You can schedule a call with me, and you know, we can chat design systems and try and get a team around you in your struggles with design systems. I'm also on LinkedIn. So if you want to hit me up, LinkedIn's the space to go. Just search my name. If you have to do the /, and you know, put the whole URL in, I'm Mark Jonathan Reynolds. I have a lovely, boring middle name. And also, I'm open like with my email address. It's mark@automity.com. Please just email me. I'm a super nerd in this space, and I literally will talk to you forever. I'll talk your ear off about design systems, you know, and hopefully some of it helps. So yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and usefully it's in. And usefully it's in plain language. Like, you know, at least people can understand it. Mark, thank you so much. Go check his stuff out.